When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Okay, everybody, welcome to the latest episode of All Too Real 2. My name is Michael E. Cullen II, and with me, as always, via Zoom is...
Sesame and Carta.
Sesame and Carta. You're sticking with that, huh?
Yep. Yes, okay. I am.
Sesame and Carta. I'm just going to call you Matthew Haas, if that's okay.
Yeah, I mean, you do what you need to do, so...
I mean, yeah. I'll just, you know, call you that because I'm used to it. But, you know, if you want to be fine. Sesame and Carta, that's fine. So,
I'm tolerant of you.
Yes, I'm very tolerant. of your name.
Yeah.
Yes. So, here's a story, Matt. Sesame, I mean. Of a man named Brady.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's also a lady.
Mm-hmm.
And there's like six kids, okay? There's three boys and there's three girls. Mm-hmm. And they formed this big group of people, like a bunch. And their name is Brady. So, anyways.
Good theme song.
Yes.
Yeah.
Today on the show, in our Frosty Failures segment, or series, I should say, we are covering... the 1988 film, made-for-TV movie, A Very Brady Christmas.
Yes.
Yes. It was directed by Peter Baldwin. It was written by Sherwood Schwartz and Lloyd J. Schwartz, who are a father and son. Sherwood Schwartz is, of course, the creator of The Brady Bunch. And, and it stars most of the original cast, with the exception of Susan Olsen, who, according to the media at the time, was on her honeymoon, so she couldn't be in the movie.
Yeah.
But it turned out that, in reality, they were offering her, like, nothing to do the movie.
Oh, wow.
Like, very little money. So, she just basically said fuck you to them. So...
Which character does Susan Olsen play?
Cindy.
Oh, okay. So, that wasn't... Alright.
No, that wasn't the original Cindy.
Oh, okay.
That was... Cindy in this movie is played by Jennifer Runyon, who people may know as Gwendolyn Pierce from the first season of Charles in Charge.
Maybe that's why she looked familiar.
Yeah.
Yeah. What else has she been in?
She was also in Ghostbusters.
Okay, yeah.
And she's been in many other things, but those are the two most popular, probably. Okay. Yeah, I mean, she was decent in the role, so it was fine, you know. But they,
yeah,
the studio, Paramount said that they would fund the film if they could get 5 of the 6 kids.
Wow.
Yeah.
We don't need the whole bunch, just the 5.
Yep.
Wow.
Yeah. So, yeah. Yeah, it was the highest rated television film of the 1988 season.
Wow.
That's actually, it was, and then it ended up finishing second, though, but it was the second highest rated, I guess, I should say. Yeah, but still.
So, when did the Brady Bunch TV show, what year did that end?
That ended, 14 years prior.
Okay, and this takes place 12 years, though, so timeline-wise, it takes place 12 years after the show.
Is that what they said?
Well, Cindy said she hasn't had curls in her hair for 12 years, so maybe she had them for another 2 years before that.
Yeah.
I was just wondering because it seemed timeline-wise that, they seemed a lot older, more than just 14 years. I'm thinking at least 20 at the very least, because I know back in the day people used to start their lives and have families earlier because, you know, the economy was doing better and it's not like the complete shit show that it is now. But anyway, I digress. So people tended to start careers, at an appropriate age and have children at an appropriate age, not have to wait to 65 to do so. But even then I was like, that still seems a little bit soon because some of these kids were not babies. They were already kids. And I'm thinking in order for, who was the doctor? Was it Greg?
Yeah.
For one thing, you got to go to regular college, so that's 4 years. You got to go to medical school, I think, is another 4 years. So, the way he looked, he was already, some well-established doctor. That would take, at least 12 years to even get remotely to that point, you know? It just seemed timeline-wise, 12 years or 14 years didn't really, to me, didn't feel, maybe just because, for me and maybe my generation, time goes by quicker, maybe because of technology and internet. Yeah. I don't know, but for me it seemed a little bit fast. But again, maybe in the 80s it was different because they didn't have, the internet to look at all day long and just waste your time on. So they actually, went out and did things, because they could too, because like I said, the economy was better and there wasn't such a thing as called COVID-19 and a fascist kind of president and all that stuff going on. But anyway, sorry, always got to get political somehow, but which probably alienates 75% of our audience, but yeah, you're stuck with me. So
it's okay, Matt. I mean, Sesame.
Sesame.
Yes. Yeah. So, anyways, so what do we got going on here in this movie, Matt?
Everyone's going on with their, their different lives. Mike and, God, what's their name?
Carol.
I hardly ever really watched it, but yeah. Mike and Carol still got their jobs going on. They're empty nesters. They got cool exercise bikes that they gave to each other for Christmas. Each of them decides to do a surprise vacation for the other because they have a joint savings account, that's just for vacations, which again, back in the 80s, you probably would be able to actually do, actually have a special account that's just for vacations, not just a savings account, but accounts specific towards certain things, a concept that most people don't know anymore. Anyway, Mike wanted to surprise Carol with a trip to Japan because she always wanted to go to Japan. But then Carol decided to book a secret trip to Greece, and they both went to the same travel agency. But Mike had gotten there first because when Carol went to book hers, there wasn't any money left in the account. And then
which really makes no sense, by the way.
It doesn't. But they both, realized that they were there, and then it's like, oh, that's so cute. But then they decided, I forgot her name, the maid.
Alice. So earlier before this happened, Alice came to stay with them because she was having problems with Sam, the butcher, her husband. He was cheating on her with a younger woman.
Yay.
Which I'm like, isn't that a little serious for the sitcom movie? Just like,
the movie was a lot like deeper than the show was.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. So,
I mean, if you think that is, eventually for the show, we should probably cover the pilot episode of The Brady's.
Oh, God.
Which was a
follow-up. I never heard of that.
What's that?
I never heard of that.
Yeah, one. It was a follow-up to this. And it was very dramatic television, hour-long television series that ran for one season.
Yeah, they're all grown up now, and they got their own problems for their own generation.
People at the time referred to it as Brady something, because it was very serious, like 30-something.
Brady something.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, anyways, so we've got, Alice comes to stay. Both of the the spouses tell Alice about their planned trips, and she's just like, "Oh no, what do I do?" Sort of stuff. She can't tell them. They also tell like all the kids. And of course, nobody's telling each other that, wait, Mom's planning a trip. Dad's planning a trip, Because they're, good kids.
They're loyal. Yeah, they're loyal to their parents. They're not going to ruin the surprise, for the other parent.
So,
you raise them right.
Yes. And, it was a good story. Of a lovely lady.
Yeah. It was, I tell you what. I periodically go through, a phase where, I try to get into the Brady Bunch because, for some reason, I get this idea in my head that, it's a show that I'm supposed to like. Like it's, an obligation to like the Brady Bunch for something. It's like a standard I set for myself. Nobody is telling me that I have to watch. At the the Brady Bunch. It's my own standard. So I can never get past the pilot ever. It's just so bad. I 2 minutes, 10 minutes into it, I'm I have an edge. I'm I gotta turn this off. I can't take it. It's just such a terrible episode.
You do not have to like the Brady Bunch. Just letting you know.
I know that, but for some reason in my mind, a few years ago, 4 years ago. Yeah, 4 years ago, literally on a Saturday, it was 2 a.m, and I was staying up way too late. I should have gone to bed at 10, and I just put on Hulu and got the idea, I'm going to watch the Brady Bunch, and I couldn't take it. I tried to do it the next day or next weekend or whatever, and it's could never get past the first, not even through the first episode, not just not past it. And
I will tell you that the Brady Bunch movie and A Very Brady sequel
those are different.
Are much better because they're parodies.
They're meant to make fun of. Yeah. Those are pretty cool. Rob Lowe was in the second one, I think. And was it Rob Lowe or was it No,
Rob Lowe wasn't in it.
It was the other dude from Evil, right? Was it him?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, all right.
Yeah. Anyways, so back to the back to the plot of this movie. Mm-hmm. First off, before we get any further, Matt, what did you think of the movie?
It was okay.
Yeah. It's about how I feel.
It wasn't terrible. I wasn't really thrilled with it, but it was better than the show. So, you know, I was okay with it for a 1988 made for television movie. You know, it could have been a lot worse, especially during that, you know, year or whatever.
Yeah.
A lot of bad television. You know, during that.
Yeah, I mean, this was the time too. Like, at this time, like, a lot of television shows were doing these reunion movies and shit. It was like all over the place. I mean, now we've got all these. Like, it seemed to have another wave recently where we had a bunch of reboots, like, you know, Fuller House and all that shit. You know, so it's like, yeah. So, but anyways, we've got so they decide that instead of, you know, going to Greece or Japan, that they're going to fly in all of their family. All of the, you know, the kids and the grandchildren and the in-laws and all that shit.
God, that's like a lot of money. That's like,
yeah,
17 plane tickets, round trip. So
I think going to Greece or Japan would have been a lot cheaper.
I don't even think they would have enough money to even pay for, like there's no way they had that, because like when Carol went to book the trip to Greece, there was only like $8 left in their account. So like, there's no way. Whatever, that's fine. That's TV convenience. But
see, I mean, and it's funny too, when the Bradys, the follow up to this happens, they all seem to live in the same town again.
So the so we're doing that thing. We're doing the Saved by the Bell thing where, you know, everybody just happened to move to Bayside, California from Indiana. You know, just got in the bus and just moved, you know.
That was different. That was more like they just didn't care. So anyways, we've got all the Brady kids are in their own lives facing different problems. That might keep them from enjoying the holidays, you know.
Yep.
Greg's nurse wife, Nora, Greg is a doctor, decides that she wants to spend Christmas with her family instead of with his family. So they agree at first, you know, oh, well, we'll, you know, first they were thinking of just going over to her parents, but then eventually she comes up with the conclusion, oh, you can take the kid and go to, you know, your parents. And yeah. I'll go, you know, spend time with my family. Peter is romantically involved with his boss, Valerie, and is in an inferior position. And he's got this, like, self-confidence thing because of societal norms where a man must earn more money than the woman.
Yeah. Keep in mind, it's 1988, which,
yeah.
You know, like, when we're younger and stuff, we like to...
Yeah, but I mean, like, this is actually kind of, you know, the fact that they address this is actually almost kind of woke for the time, you know what I mean?
Yeah, oh, I'm sure that people were writing TV Guide or whatever, you know, complaining about that, you know.
I mean, woke in the original sense of the word, where it was actually meant to be a good word.
but like 1988 was like 30 mm-hmm. over 30 years ago, so like,
yeah,
and we're still having issues like that now. So like a lot of people tend to think, at least back then, that like the 1960s was just like this sort of like era that just broke everything free and stuff like that, but really didn't, because like even 20 years later there are still people like especially if you watch like old commercials, like I do, for like nostalgia reasons,
yeah,
like when feeling particularly down on myself and want to retreat to like the past when I actually felt happy. Sorry, I'm having a bad week. So, you know, like I've noticed that like a lot of the commercials are about like, you know, like the woman's like doing the laundry or like or vacuuming. Like it's like always like the woman's job to do like cleaning or cooking as well. Like, I just, you know what I mean? So like, yeah. Even in the 80s when so-called everything was liberated, you know, stuff like that. So, because unfortunately things take a long time to change because people are like super stubborn about stuff. So,
yeah.
So, yeah. So yeah, that woke, you know, part of the episode or whatever, or the movie, you know, that they address that, like, hey man, like, okay, your girlfriend's your boss, like, all right, big deal.
Yeah, exactly. there's probably more of a, you know, HR problem there than anything.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. Like, I think the problem is that you're dating your boss, and she's dating someone that's under her. Like, yeah. Like that's a big deal.
So the next issue we have is Bobby, the youngest boy, has decided to drop out of graduate school to become a race car driver, but has not told his parents about this.
And he dropped out a whole year before this. So he's been doing this, lying to them for an entire
year. Yeah.
Which is weird, because I would have assumed, and maybe not, but I would have assumed that, you know, they would have helped pay for his education. So wouldn't they have known?
Where's this money going that we're paying? Maybe, or unless he got a scholarship or something, who knows? Yeah, you know,
maybe they weren't paying, or maybe they were.
Yeah,
because he was going for his master's, so maybe they helped pay for the like bachelor's or what, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But yeah, the whole year he didn't tell them he was racing cars. You know, I could sort of tell something was going on because like everyone else was like wearing suits and stuff, like when they were talking on the phone. He's sitting there eating like last night's Chinese food for breakfast and, you know, stuff like that, or like a pizza box, you know, like I was like, okay, he's living kind of a bachelor type of life here, you know?
And so then we have Marcia, the oldest daughter, whose husband, basically she has no issues. It's that her husband, Wally, was fired from his job at a toy company where he was a salesperson.
I hate this part of the story so much. I hate the fact that Marcia is married. Okay, well, just keep going because I got a lot to say about Wally. So
okay. Then we have Jan, who is having issues with Philip, her husband, and so they're, you know, possibly breaking up, living apart and whatnot. Then Cindy, who's been fighting for her independence since she is the youngest and still gets treated like the baby of the family. She is currently a college undergraduate, which makes no sense to me because her and Bobby are supposed to be the same age. And he's in graduate school, yeah, but she's... Exactly. Okay, anyway, so... and she's in an issue similar to Bobby there, too, where she's lying to the parents.
Yeah.
She had actually had plans to go skiing with her roommates, but basically was told by her parents that she had to come home for the holidays, you know. Uh-huh. Not really given a choice.
Like, yep, you're doing it.
Yeah, you know? And like we said before, Alice is even dealing with the fact that Sam has left her for another woman.
Yep. Sam the Butcher's butchered his relationship or marriage or whatever. Yes. Yep.
Matt, you're such a cut up.
Yep. Oh god, I hate all the meat puns that they made about this. Oh god, it makes me so mad. Okay. You keep going because I'm gonna derail if I keep.
Do you wanna take a break here, Matt, and then we'll come back and talk about the rest of the plot?
Yeah.
All right, we'll be right back.
What is Gen X? What is the silent generation? What do generations have in common? Hi, I'm Trish the Dish from the Gen X Voice podcast, and I invite you to listen to conversations I have with folks from different generations, backgrounds, beliefs, and experiences in an attempt to see what connects rather than divides us. Even though Gen X has been called slackers, Karens, or not mentioned at all in some cases, we are the bridge generation, so I feel compelled to do my part to destroy ageism by bringing all these voices together. And as a bonus, each guest gets to answer some 80s questions at the end of each show. So download and listen to Gen X Voice today on Apple, Spotify, Amazon, or wherever you listen to podcasts. And let's see how much we have in common after all.
Hi, this is Catherine, host of a new fashion podcast, The Real Fashion School Dropout. Join me as I interview guests every week in the fashion and beauty space, and we gossip on all things fashion and beauty and even get into some personal stories of their journey in the industry. You can find us on Apple, Spotify, pretty much wherever you get your podcast. Hope to see you there.
So, Matt, I was thinking about becoming a race car driver. Do you think that's a good idea?
I don't know, maybe.
I mean, I don't even have a license right now, so I'm trying to see. You don't think that'd be a good idea?
I mean, you have to do that first, but then you can, like, I don't know how you get involved in something like that. You just try out. I mean, like, I don't know if you already need a car, like a race car to begin with. Or
you probably do need a car to be a race car driver.
Well, I don't know if you have to use your personal car to try out, or if you just go to like a track and they like let you, you know.
I was just wondering if I could like race the cars on foot, like I could race them and then.
No, you couldn't do that. No.
All right.
If I hit you, it might be like a hazard thing too, you know.
Yeah, that's true. They could hit me. What if I wear like a big orange suit so they see me?
No. Well, because some of the cars are orange, so you know that would be bad. And
yeah. What if I wear like a suit with a bunch of lights on it?
That might work.
Okay. Just check.
Yeah.
Anyway, so yeah, I don't think I'll do that. I think I'll stick to podcasting and whatnot. Because I'm just as good as that as I can be as a race car driver. Anyway, so though each child ends up deciding to spend the holiday, they end up you know, having all this, you know, crap going on. You know, you got the kids there, and the one you got Marcia's son picking on Greg's son for no reason whatsoever.
Because he's shy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which is interesting, because that kid is actually recast in the Brady's by Jonathan Taylor Thomas.
Hmm.
From Home Improvement. Anyway, so
wow.
Before he was on Home Improvement. Basically, we also have this other subplot going on. Where, so Carol is now a real estate agent, and Mike, of course, is an architect, as he, you know, was in the original. And there's this guy, Mr. Roberts, who is in charge of this building site for this new building that, I guess, Carol sold the land and Mike's the architect for it. And Mike is insisting that things, you know, be made safely.
It seems like a conflict of interest right there, though.
Yeah,
she sold the land, and then her husband got the job as architect.
It does seem kind of weird.
Right off the bat, I was like, this is not good.
So this Roberts guy, he wants to cut corners. It'll still fall within code, I guess. But Mike thinks that it's going to be dangerous to the building. And then eventually Mike walks off the project because he, you know, doesn't feel safe, and he wishes Mr. Roberts luck, and Mr. Roberts is finding another architect or whatever.
Yeah, because Mike, you know, has, you know, actual principles, you know, that he holds on to. Whereas, you know, this other guy's, you know, filthy capitalist piece of shit. So, you know, we're going to see more of how that unfolds in the movie, but...
Yeah, I didn't see this coming a mile away by any means.
Of course not, no.
No.
and he's trying to get her to influence him, to influence Mike, you know, to change his position or whatever.
Yeah, trying to, like, take away business from her and stuff.
Yep.
You know, take away one of her biggest clients or what, you know, which is, I guess, his company or whatever. So, anyways, they, the whole family gathers. We have, like, some issues where, basically, Cindy and Nora, Cindy and Valerie, I should say, the girlfriend of Peter, are in a room together, and they're talking about things at night, and they realize that, you know, Cindy basically gives good advice and says, you know, Valerie, why don't you just ask Peter to marry you, you know?
Yeah.
And then Cindy, you know, comes to the conclusion that, you know, it's like, I'm a grown-up, I know what I'm doing, blah, blah, blah. I'm a big kid now. And,
I'm a big kid now. Yeah.
And then, she, so that's going on. Peter and Bobby are talking, and Peter, basically tells, Bobby, you know, it's like, I want to marry her, but she makes more money than me, blah, 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 and, you know, all this other bullshit. And Bobby basically just says, she's great. Why don't you fucking marry her, you dumbass? and then, Bobby tells Peter that he's a race car driver and that he's, you know, hasn't told, you know, mom and dad. And, that's, you know, he basically says, you know, you got to tell them, blah, blah, blah. So then, you know, all those things are worked out, you know, like they always are in a Brady Bunch type thing, you know. And the worst problem in the world, and it's solved by the end of the credits.
Yep.
So
I wonder why they're so happy and you know, it all works out every time. Yep.
So we have that going on. We got the, you know, the kids picking on each other, blah blah blah. We got a situation where Wally, Mike, and I think it ends up being Peter and Bobby too. They all end up eating the dessert that Alice made for them, even though she's not their maid. But
where she's like falling into old habits.
Yeah, throughout the thing, they keep having this running joke. Like, she keeps trying to, you know, wait on the kids and do everything and blah blah blah, and Carol and Mike are like, you know, you're not our maid, you know, you're our guest, blah, 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 you know. And then yet half the freaking movie she's wearing her maid's outfit.
I know. I hate to say it, but she was so annoying in this movie.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, maybe she was like that in the show, I don't remember, but like her fake crying bullshit and
yeah.
Oh God, I hated it. I mean, I know that's what they wanted, that's what they were going for, but I just thought it was stupid. But they end up eating it all. Okay, well, that was for dessert. Thanks, guys. But you know, hope it was good, because you know, other people could have, you know, had some of that too. But hey, you know, whatever.
It's okay. You know.
Can I get to Wally in a second, or can I'm like chomping at the bit?
I was just about to bring up Wally here.
Okay.
So, Wally and Marcia's kid, Mickey, tells Grandpa that that Wally lost his job, basically. And so then we have a situation later where Wally and Mike and Mickey are all jogging for some reason. And they they happen to jog by this Mr. Prescott, who owns a toy company.
Oh, wow.
And basically, you know, says, you know, hey, you know, Wally's a toy salesman, blah, blah, blah. You know, you know, and then Mr. Prescott's like, can I steal him away from Tyler Toys?
Yeah. Again, how it all seems to work out, you know. Oh, man.
Wasn't a setup at all, man.
He got fired, and then 2 days later, he's got an interview for a whole new job. Yep, mm-hmm. All works out in the Brady Bunch land.
Yeah.
Yep. So, fuck you.
So, what do you want to say about Wally here?
Okay, I'm sorry. I hate Wally so much. Okay, so, like, and this is, like, maybe I'm going to come off like Joe Rogan here for a second, but, like, I hate it in movies and TV shows where fathers are, like, completely weak. And I don't mean like, oh, they show emotion. I mean like when they act like a little kid themselves. I'm like, you're a father. Like, you're acting like a kid here to your kids. Like, if you're gonna act like that, at least act that way, not around them. Like, he's sitting there like pacing and like having them like trying to console him. And oh god, something about that. I'm like, I'm thinking to myself, Marcia, you were the oldest girl in the group, you were, quote, the prettiest. Why you marry this guy? Like, what the fuck? Like, you could have picked anyone. You picked this guy. Did he go through a massive personality change after you met and went out and got married? And he finally, like, revealed who he was, and he tricked you the whole time? Like, what's going on with this? Like,
there is a short-lived series that gives us the early days of their marriage.
Oh, I definitely want to see that. No, not really.
Yeah, it's called The Brady Brides. It lasted one season as well.
Oh my god!
It came before this. Yeah, it was a there was a movie, actually. It was called like The Brady like the Brady Girls Get Married or some bullshit like that.
God, what a cash cow they're trying.
Then they tried to turn that into a TV series like a year or so later.
Jesus Christ.
And it just starred Jan, and the premise of that one, it was kind of like The Odd Couple. You had Wally and Philip, and Jan and Marcia all living in the same house.
And
Alice was their neighbor.
Oh my god. Yeah, all right. That's so believable.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're all living in the same fucking house. Like, really?
You have like Philip, who's kind of like the Felix Unger type person, and then Wally, who is like, you know, the Oscar Madison sort of kind of character. And so you have like that. It was like basically The Odd Couple, but with wives added in.
And Brady Bunch bullshit. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, there's a scene like that, like, angered me so much last night when I was watching this. So, like, and like I said, I've been on edge for all week, so it's probably just an extension of that. But like, he's sitting there, like, pacing around the bedroom, like, where they're all sleeping. And he's like, I can't sleep because I'm thinking about losing my job. And then I start grinding my teeth. And then when I start grinding my teeth, I worry about going to the dentist. And then when I go to the dentist, I worry about the bill he's going to send me. And I'm worried that the bill's going to be too much. But then I can't pay the bill because I don't have a job, which means I start grinding my teeth. And it's like, you are saying all this in front of your wife and children. Like, quit being so fucking weak. Like, I understand. You know, it's okay to show emotions. It's okay to cry. All that stuff's fine. But, like, when you're acting like a... Anyway, sorry.
See, regardless of his sex, you know, regardless of whether he's male or female, he's an adult, and he's acting like a fucking child.
That's what gets me, and I guess it does get me a little bit when it's a guy acting that way. Maybe I have like a 1% conservative in me or something like that, and that it's just that thing. Like, dude, like, shut up, like, you know, like,
yeah.
I don't know.
And I mean, the thing is I think it would be just as annoying if it was Marcia that was going through this too. You know what I mean? I'm just saying, it's just fucking...
Yeah, but...
Yeah.
I don't know. He's got a certain look about him, too. Like, yeah. His hair's all, like, just disheveled. And I don't know.
I like Jerry Hauser as an actor normally, but, you know, this role is kind of... I don't know.
Yeah,
so, he's a funny guy. He did all the if you ever watched MASH, anytime there was like a speaker announcement on that show, that was him.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Well, that's kinda cool. But anyways, he ends up getting a job working for Prescott, I guess. Then we have the big Christmas dinner. Where we basically have Bobby telling at one point, because Mike's giving like a speech about, you know, what's going on, and eventually, you know, like basically saying, you know, we can't be afraid to, you know, speak up or blah blah blah, you know, giving a good old, you know, typical holiday speech sort of thing.
Yeah.
And I guess at one point Carol did help Philip and Jan get back together. Like, totally didn't really. She just basically said, you know, what's going on, you know?
Yeah, that was it.
Yeah. So at the dinner, though, we get the thing where Cindy says how she didn't like being told to come. Bobby tells him about being a race car driver. That one was like the one. It's funny. That was the one they took the most serious. Which, yeah, I guess makes sense, because he's been lying for a whole fucking year.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
And then Peter tells, you know, starts talking about things, and then eventually Peter and Valerie propose to each other at the exact same time after they're given a countdown to three from Carol. Yeah.
Yep.
So, we get all the kids doing that, and then Nora arrives and surprises Greg, which I got questions about. They don't really tell you where Greg lives. They don't tell you, yeah, you know, where Nora's family is. How was she able to get there so fucking fast?
Maybe they live just down the street or something. I have no idea.
But if that's the case, why couldn't they just, you know, spend part of the day with Nora's family, part of the day with the Bradys? Yeah, I'm just
saying. It's TV convenience.
Yeah.
That's what it has to be.
Anyways, then we get a phone call. Guess what happens, Matt?
Oh, I didn't see this coming a mile away, or 10 miles away, or 100 miles away.
Or 1,000.
Yeah.
10,000. A million miles.
Yep.
So, Mike learns that the ruthless businessman that he, you know, designed a building for has cut corners now, resulting in the building collapsing and trapping two security guards inside.
Oh, I didn't see that coming.
No. My thing is the building wasn't completely finished. Why were there security? Okay, anyways. So,
yeah, exactly. What was that? Like,
what were they doing inside there? Okay, anyways. So, yeah. Mike comes, he gets called because the other, the new architect is out of town. And he comes to help, and he basically tells Roberts what to do to, you know, fix things. He gets the two security guards out, but he gets trapped himself after an aftershock.
Yep.
And then he's saved by a song.
Yep, because he was trapped and he couldn't lift the weight. I like, too, how they're basically just going to, like, let him stay there.
Yeah.
like we're not going to help him. We're just going to let him stay here because we didn't get the approval. It's like, wow, so you're just, like, going to let someone die in the building.
So basically what ends up happening is Cindy reminds Carol of the time in the original series where she sang, "Oh, Come All Ye Faithful," after she lost her voice.
Yep.
And so she starts singing it, and everybody else starts singing along. And that song saves Mike's life.
It gives him the strength to, well, you know, it gives him the strength to lift that, you know, rebar or whatever, you know, is holding him down.
Yeah.
And, you know, and because, you know, that's what songs do. They actually give you muscle strength and, you know, able to, like, lift. So like, yeah, he gets out and stuff, I guess, or whatever. Yay. And then, like, I've been such in a weird headspace lately. Like, I was, like, sitting there half expecting, like, you're just going to let him die and it's going to end that way. But I was seriously wondering if they're just going to end it like a really bad note. But
it's a very pretty Christmas ends with Mike Brady dying.
But I think I'm half right, because he probably inhaled a lot of asbestos, so he probably had like lifetime complications after that. So, you know, good job, Mr. Capitalist construction owner guy.
In real life a few years later, the actor died from complications of AIDS. So
yeah, well, there you go. Yeah. So he got it from the building. Yeah. He inhaled AIDS. Wow.
No.
Well, of course, 1988, people probably believed that bullshit. Yeah. Like Ronald Reagan probably, yeah, don't get too close to a gay person. Because, well, he didn't talk like that. But, like, suddenly I've got a different accent.
Yeah, Ronald that's the Reagan. Thing, though. Robert Reed was a closeted gay man for most of his life. So
I told you that's what it was.
Yeah, it was. He did have a marriage and had a daughter. But he was, you know, he was a gay man, but he was, like, America's TV dad, you know. It's like kind of interesting.
Well, yeah, because he has a good job and he's the man of the household, and he's got a good job and he's the man of the household, and he's got a good job and he's the man of the household.
What is he?
He's got a good job and he's the man of the household. Sorry, I'm like so loopy today.
So Mike ends up getting out because "Oh Come All Ye Faithful," you know, saved his life.
You know what could have saved his life more?
What?
It's like, what's that?
What's that?
Like the 6 gallons of tears that I cried today from watching the movie Hachi, A Dog's Tale, that could have lubricated, you know, some of the stuff, and he'd be able to slip through the wood beams or whatever that he was trapped under, you know.
But, well, at least Mike didn't die in this, like the dog in that. So, or not the dog, I mean the guy dog in that.
Of course, that guy is like 12 years old. But, like, yeah, but
the guy in the movie, I should say.
They both are just like 12 years apart. But yeah. Yep. Good stuff, you know. Uh-huh. Perfect, you know. Perfect storm we got brewing here. So we got COVID coming back, not that it ever left, but now we got the new variant. Christmas is coming up. The economy sucks. There's a so-called labor shortage, which really isn't, because Kellogg's fired 1,400 workers going on strike, and then they hired a bunch of scabs. They go, wait, I thought there was a labor shortage. You can't get anyone to work. No one wants to work. All of a sudden, it's over, Mike. It miraculously it ended all at once. 1,400 people, they were all available, Mike, but there's a shortage. But until that moment, and then suddenly there's no shortage anymore. It's a miracle. Just like Mike, you know, escaping the building miracle. Yes. This is another miracle, you know? But so, we got, you know, the shorter days. You know, we had a bunch of tornadoes in Kentucky yesterday. We had a huge windstorm here in Toledo. Power went out in a lot of places. you know.
And Peacock canceled AP Bio, and Netflix canceled Cowboy Bebop, so that pissed me off. So
it's a lot of good stuff going on at once. So it's like, you know, if I were Mike Brady, what I would have done is I would have just taken, like, one of the 2x4s that was in there and just, like, hit the guy in the head with it, like, just as hard as he could, you know, and, like, end the movie right then and there. Like,
they should have ended the movie with Mike becoming, like, a killer, and he kills Mr. Roberts.
Yes. and they're all singing, "Oh, come, all you faithful," as it's going on. And then...
And then like Bobby, Peter, and Greg come in and help him.
They help hide the body. They put it in the building.
Wally comes in and he's like, "Well, actually, the reason I lost my job is actually I'm in the mafia." And
wow.
"I don't need no fucking job at Prescott Toys. I know where to hide the body." Anyway, so
the whole anxiety thing was just like a cover for him, you know.
He, like, turns into this smooth guy, and all of a sudden his hair slicked back and stuff, too. It's weird. Yeah.
It's like the was it Cesar Carzai? No, what was his name? Usual Suspects, what was his name?
Carzai? Oh, Kaiser Soze? Yeah.
Yeah, it's like the Kaiser Soze effect, you know?
Yeah. So,
yeah, the guy's limping, and he's stuttering his words, but he comes out, suddenly he has no limp anymore, you know?
And then Bobby gets his race car and he runs over the body a few times to make sure he's dead. And
yeah, that would have been a good. I would have actually paid more attention if that was the ending.
Yes, but we do have another miracle happen here.
Oh yeah, what's that?
So they all get back home for their dinner and stuff.
Oh yeah, that's right.
And Santa Claus shows up.
Oh, that's right, Santa Claus.
And it's actually Sam.
Or do you mean Salmon Claus? As in, his name is Sam, but he's a butcher, and they probably have fish there as well, so it's a salmon?
Sure.
The butcher probably mainly specialized, like, beef and pork products, but they probably have some seafood as well,
and
you know, so...
And instead of being played by the original actor, for some reason, Sam is now played by Louis Arquette. Why they couldn't get the original actor, I don't know. He was still alive at the time.
Maybe they didn't pay him any money, just like they weren't going to pay
Susan Olsen.
You know, maybe they're going to pay him in meat, you know, meat products.
Yeah.
Hey, you played a butcher on TV, so we'll give you like...
We'll give you some ground chuck and some, some liver and onions and...
Meat Club of the Month or whatever.
Yeah.
I don't know. And whatever, I don't know. If that's even such a thing.
Subscription to that. What is it, like Idaho Meats or Iowa, whatever that was. Yeah.
Yeah, the Trump Steaks.
Trump Steaks. That was probably big at that time, you know? This is back when, in the 80s when Trump was, still just a businessman and didn't destroy our country.
It was a certifiably important. Anyway, yeah.
He had yet to become a reality TV star or destroy our country. And,
Fair. But,
So anyways,
Mike Brady,
Sam, you know, comes back and he's just like, you know what, nobody beats you, Alice, you know, we got to get back together and blah, blah, blah. And, And by the way, Louis Arquette, you may know from Waiting for Guffman, as well as being the dad to David Arquette and Rosanna Arquette and Patricia Arquette. Oh. Yeah.
Yeah.
Another thing about Louis Arquette. He was also the son of Cliff Arquette, who was a comedic actor before that, who is from Toledo, Ohio. So, yeah.
That's freaking amazing.
Yeah.
So, this scene, I didn't like this scene because this proved to me that feminism was not quite ascendant yet, because she just totally just takes him back. Mm-hmm. And, like, everyone else is, like, happy, like, yay, they're back together. It's like, bitch, Like, he was cheating on her with a younger woman. He's like, oh, Alice is not hot enough for me anymore. Now I need to, like, go to, like, some 30-something or probably 40-something, to be honest, because they're probably, like, in their 50s. But whatever. A younger, a fresher piece of meat, if you will, you know, because he's a butcher and everything's going to be butcher. Like, he even told her, he's like, oh, you're prime rib and she's chopped liver. It's like, okay, I get it. You're a butcher. Does everything you have to say have to be, I used to work at a print shop. So, like, when I came home, everything I say, like, oh, you're like a 36 by 24, come on, quit being an idiot. But you know, it's Sam for you, and he is an idiot, so.
It's like, you know, LeBron James gets home, he's, like, saying to his wife, he's like, you know, our marriage is like a slam dunk.
God, I know. Yeah, can you imagine? That would just be so corny. Like, I would, like, murder him if he did that. Like, I don't even know where he lives. It's like, I don't even care about basketball. I would kill him just for playing that. Like, all of his fans would be devastated. They ask, what's the information? Do you like a different team? All right. Nope. Don't even care about basketball. And by don't care, I mean, I don't care. I don't have animosity towards it. I don't have love for it. It's indifferent to me, but I will murder this guy for saying his marriage is a slam dunk. And because I hate the Tampa. No, I'm just kidding.
He plays for the Lakers, though. So
he does. I thought he's exactly. I don't even know. I know he's playing for the Tampa Bay Heat for a while.
That's the Miami Heat, by the way, too.
So exactly. I can't even get the teams right. Yeah, the Tampa Bay Heat. Yeah. That sounds right. Really? Yeah, in the Cleveland Bulls, in the Detroit Cavs, in the LA 76ers. Sure. That's as much as I know about basketball. Yeah,
I don't watch basketball, but I know the names of the teams, unfortunately.
Well, the thing is, I used to know a little bit about basketball, but it was only because of playing basketball video games.
Yeah.
Like, I knew that Charles Barkley used to be on the Philadelphia 76ers, and it was only because in one of the basketball games, you could play different years of different teams if you wanted to. And so, like, I chose the 76ers, and I chose, like, a certain year, and then he was on the roster. So I knew just from that, but I would have had, like, no idea whatsoever.
I always think of Charles Barkley with the Phoenix Suns.
That was later on. Yeah. But he started out, I think.
That's when I met him one time. I met him at a golf thing. Oh, yeah. Cool. So he was golfing in a local charity golf thing. So anyways, but regardless, anyways, I, the other day, speaking of basketball, I know this is totally off topic, but I was at a Walmart and they had one of those arcade one-up NBA Jam things on display. And so I played a little bit of basketball for a few minutes.
I love NBA Jam. I used to, I used to play that. I used to rent that like every other weekend.
Yeah, it was fun on that arcade because it's the arcade version and stuff. And it was really fun. Anyway, so I am going to remind fans that if you would like to buy me an arcade one-up, I really want one.
I want one too. But buy us one that's hackable so we can put multiple games on it so we don't have to buy like a different game.
They're all hackable. We can figure it out.
Oh, they are?
So, okay. Yeah, I watch YouTube. So,
I'm not going to buy like six of these.
No, like, I just want one. Like, I mean, I don't even care which one it is, honestly, as long as it's one that I can, you know, put multiple games on. So, but regardless, do you want to take a quick break here, Matt, and we'll come back and talk about the, like, I don't know, just talk about the rest of this?
Yeah,
we'll be right back.
What is Gen X? What is the silent generation? What do generations have in common? Hi, I'm Trish the Dish from the Gen X Voice podcast, and I invite you to listen to conversations I have with folks from different generations, backgrounds, beliefs, and experiences in an attempt to see what connects rather than divides us. Even though Gen X has been called slackers, Karens, or not mentioned at all in some cases, we are the bridge generation, so I feel compelled to do my part to destroy ageism by bringing all these voices together. And as a bonus, each guest gets to answer some 80s questions at the end of each show. So download and listen to Gen X Voice today on Apple, Spotify, Amazon, or wherever you listen to podcasts. And let's see how much we have in common after all.
Hi, this is Catherine, host of a new fashion podcast, The Real Fashion School Dropout. Join me as I interview guests every week in the fashion and beauty space, and we gossip on all things fashion and beauty and even get into some personal stories of their journey in the industry. You can find us on Apple, Spotify, pretty much wherever you get your podcast. Hope to see you there.
And we are back. And here's the story of a man named Mike who was unable to rhyme the word Mike.
Wait. Mike the Pike? No. Mike the Spike? I don't know.
So, anyways, here's the story of a man named Matthew who wore a shoe.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, anyways. So here's a review from back in 2004 on the Internet Movie Database of this wonderful film. Written by Five Fids. Could only watch it once. I was a big fan of the Brady Bunch show when it was on, and I was young and naive. I just, as most who watched it, knew it wasn't realistic. We knew it wasn't how most families interact, etc. But we liked it just the same. When I watched this in 1988, I was disappointed. I was very well done. It was very well done, but I guess the Brady Bunch, as many shows, was good only in its time. So when reunions updates are done, it does not have much impact. At least that's how I felt about this one. The best part was seeing, hearing a Brady use the word hell. Christopher Knight as Peter tells one of his siblings, I don't recall which, that's a hell of a way to get your to greet your brother. Or something to that effect. Way to go, Peter. That added some much-needed realism to a show that even the most adherent fan will concede lacked realism.
Okay.
If I see it in my listings during the holiday season, I may check it out again. But I did not care for this first time, so I doubt that will change.
Okay. For me, it's the exact opposite. To me, the show was, like, totally silly and just unwatchable for the most part.
Yeah.
You know, this movie, it wasn't good, but it wasn't terrible.
Yeah. Here's a 10 out of 10, Matt. Written back in 1990.
Oh, wow.
Written back in 1999. By wow. Luke 31. I don't know if that's a Bible thing. Anyway, so
yeah,
it was written on December 23rd of 1999. The best television reunion movie of all time. This is an excellent reunion movie. It has a great storyline, some wonderful writing, and situations that alternate between comedy and drama. No other reunion movie has ever stayed more true to the original character conceptions while allowing them to grow. An excellent movie. Part of my Christmas tradition.
Mm. Okay, I mean, they like what they like, so,
yeah.
You know, it's fine.
Here's another one from 1999. What? Written by Fonzie 2.
What?
Okay, someone tell me that this isn't for real. Poor dad gets trapped in a construction accident, and they still sing Christmas carols without him? Someone should beat the writers of this script into a bloody pulp. I like the Brady Bunch, but this is degrading.
Whoa. See, we're not the only ones that were thinking of violence.
Yes, I know.
When it came to that scene. Totally different victims of violence in mind, but yes. But
here's another one that's just written earlier this year, back in January, by Robert Norris. A very Brady huge miss.
Ooh.
See what they did there? It's a 1 out of 10.
Yep.
Corny or cheesy, the original series had a particular charm as it worked primarily as a sitcom comedy, but this reunion movie fails on every level. It's not funny. It's not interesting. It's not well written enough to be dramatic or moving. And in the end, like the Brady Variety Hour, it comes off sad and pathetic.
Okay.
Yeah. I felt the need to read it in that voice.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I mean, anyways, there's pretty much it, the reviews for this are like all over the place. What would you recommend anybody watch this movie, Matt? Like, who do you think this is for?
You know, like nostalgia people, maybe, you know, maybe they'd get something out of it. I mean, that's probably it. I mean, like people who like the Brady Bunch, I guess, maybe they can get a kick out of it. People like us who are reviewing movies, maybe, you know.
Yeah.
Like, I've noticed that, like, a lot of people have reviewed some of, like, the same weird movies as shows we've reviewed at. I honestly think the only traction that these shows are getting are people reviewing them for podcasts. Like, I don't think anyone else is watching them.
The only reason they exist is for podcasts and YouTube videos.
Yeah, that's what I think it is. Like, I bet you a nostalgia critic probably reviewed this at some point. I don't know, but
yeah,
you know, probably. So yeah, you know, those kind of people. But like, if you're like looking for like a Christmas movie. You know, I would like stick with like Christmas Vacation, which is like, you know, a great movie, still holds up 32 years later. You know, Christmas with the Cranks, that's a good one. You know, with
It's a Wonderful Tim Allen, Life.
Wonderful, yeah, I mean, I don't like it personally, but yeah, people might like that one.
I love that movie.
I don't know. I every time I watch it, I still get pissed off at that guy's fucking uncle idiot. It's got a bunch of cats.
Uncle Billy is
you ruined the guy's life. Yeah, but like, so every time I see that, I get kind of like that guy who does like the Onion reviews. He just starts going off on him the whole time.
Yeah.
Can I just circle back to
yeah, Uncle Billy? So. My feelings on this is, my takeaway from this movie is that if you have problems in your life, you need parents like Carol and Mike. If your dad is trapped in a building, the only way to save him is by singing a Christmas carol.
Yeah. So, like, if you ever run into a situation where someone's trapped inside of a building,
I'm wondering if it works.
Gather up like 100 people.
I wonder if it works for other things, because I'm just curious. Like, has anybody in the hospitals, like when people are dying of COVID, tried singing "O Come All Ye Faithful"?
Yeah, that's terrible.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, exactly. Or is it seasonal? Like, will it work in other seasons? Like, can you sing it in springtime, for example, or only at Christmas time? You know?
Yeah.
Like, you know, because COVID's going to be around for the next 47,000 years, right? So, like, we got, you know, like, figure this stuff out, you know?
I mean, I'm going to go on the record here, Matt. Now, Joe Rogan has recommended ivermectin.
Okay, yeah, I know.
I recommend O Come All Ye Faithful to solve any of your problems.
Yeah, so, you've gone beyond taking, anti-parasite, you know, drugs to spiritual healing. You know, you don't need to take any drugs at all. You know, whether it's a free COVID vaccine or very expensive animal, you know, deworming medication.
Yes.
From feed stores. Now you just need spiritual food, you know, to get rid of the COVID virus.
I do have a feeling that Oh Come All You Faithful will help more than ivermectin, but I don't know.
It probably will. But yeah. But no, I mean, Joe Rogan, you know, he studies martial arts, and he used to host a show where people ate bugs. So, you know, he knows more than 99% of the doctors and scientists of the world. Of course he does. And why, you know, why wouldn't
he know? And I've directed two horror comedies and host a cheesy movie and sitcom podcast.
Yeah.
So listen to me.
No, don't listen to anyone who's not qualified.
Oh,
whether
but
whether
I will tell you, for three easy payments of $9.99, I will sing "O Come All Ye Faithful" for you.
Yeah, there you go.
Yes,
and they'll throw in some ivermectin, you know, as like a treat or whatever. You know, I've noticed that they're not really talking about ivermectin anymore very much. Now they moved on to. A new so-called therapy, which now it's So ivermectin was like the thing for like a couple 2 months maybe, and then, you know, these people, they're very like they move on to things very quickly. They get bored very easily, so like, you know, they never really learn how to like focus and be disciplined. They just kind of move on to like, oh, what's new now, you know, horse dewormer. Oh no, humans can use it too. Okay, yeah. For what though? Humans can use it for what? Tell me what humans can use it for.
Not for COVID.
Exactly. So don't use it. Oh, aspirin's for human use. Okay. Does it treat COVID-19? Dr. Pepper is, you know, no pun intended, is for human consumption. Oh, okay, so is Dr. Pepper made? Well, yes, technically Dr. Pepper was made by an actual doctor. Okay, I'm undercutting myself here. But whatever, he wasn't treating COVID-19 because it didn't exist in the 1800s. But and even if it did,
actually, it was created by somebody who wasn't a doctor, who named it after his doctor friend.
Oh, that's right, he named it after his... never mind. He named it after his... Okay, yeah, this woman he likes, whose father was a doctor, he named it after her dad... for some reason. Okay, anyway, that's like a weird thing right there. Like, I got a huge crush on this girl, so I'm gonna name a product after her dad. It's just like, what?
Well, that's what you do.
That's what you do.
but honestly, if you would like Matt and I to sing a Christmas carol of any kind, not to cure any kind of diseases, because we're completely joking here. On TikTok, let us know. We'll do it for the right amount of money.
Yeah.
We will. We do have a TikTok.
It has to be enough.
Yes.
Yeah.
I put up a couple things recently on TikTok, just some random videos, old school videos from us, just for the hell of it. I've got part of A Matter of Fact on there with Matt.
Oh, my God.
And
wow,
I got it up to the point where it cut me off because of time, and then
yeah, they're shorter videos.
Yeah,
but
yeah, check those out, folks. Let us know what you want us to do. If you want more episodes of A Matter of Fact, which I really like, let us know, and we can definitely do that sometime because I really like Matt's monologues.
God,
yes,
yeah.
But anyways, folks. And that's all we really have to say about A Very Brady Christmas. Don't sing your troubles away, folks.
Nope.
I mean, it might be good for it might be good for your mental health to sing. I mean, that's fine. But
maybe.
Yeah, not for, you know, curing COVID or saving somebody that's trapped in a building. or saving somebody that's trapped in a building that has COVID. just letting you know that one doesn't cancel out the other. And, you know,
yeah,
just, you know, be good to each other, folks. Check out our Patreon. Give us a 5-star review on Apple Podcast. Go to all2real2.com for everything else. Check out our TikTok. Let us know what you want us to do on that, you know. whether it's, you know, lip sync to Billie Eilish or something. You know, we could do that. Maybe. Let us know what will get people to put their eyes on things. And, you know, wear a mask, folks. We still need to. Wear a condom. And have yourself a merry little Christmas. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to All Too Real 2 podcast, a Cullen Park production. Produced and edited by Michael E. Cullen II. Music by Matthew Hawes. Subscribe and share the show. Visit us at cullenpark.com.